right up.
Blog Talk Radio.
Right up and Adam, week 17 has passed us. We are into the wild card round. And, of course, it is time for some playoff fantasy football. As long as there is NFL players playing, you can play fantasy football over at Scout Fantasy. Got three real big contests going on right now. Of course, got the playoff draft world championship, which we'll be focusing on tonight. That contest comes with $500 in league prizes and, of course, a nice $20K grand prize at the end of it. And, of course, you have the one-and-done style where you get to pick players from each team, up to three teams. Three players from each team. Go into it that way. Right now, play scoutfantasy.com. That is $20 to get involved in that one. Win a trip to Maui. And, of course, to beat Dr. Votto and Tommy G League for absolutely free. Listen to the Takeover like we do each and every week. The final edition of the dreaded 2015 fantasy football season. But coming to you with a treat tonight, talking about the playoff draft world championship. $199 is the entry fee. My God, at Chris McCarroll, GST on Twitter. Chris McCarroll, high stakes fantasy football Hall of Famer. You just wrapped up yours, Chris. I'm looking at the draft board right now. Of course, want everybody to get involved. These are real fun drafts, a last chance to take something to the top of the leaderboard and end up this season with a big check. Chris, right off the top, we were talking before we got on. I wanted to hop right into it.
Mm-hmm.
These drafts are tricky because not only are you drafting the best talent and the best players for fantasy purposes, these are full-point PPR leagues, but you also have to handicap the game and how many potential games you can get out of each player while you're drafting.
Yes, Corey, this is a great contest, and it is very challenging. And like you said, you don't want to draft the best players. Like, you know, if we were in a regular draft, obviously Adrian Peterson's a first rounder. Nobody really wants Adrian Peterson in a draft like this because, you know, everyone's just assuming Seattle's going to kill them, you know, week one, and Peterson will be one and done, and that really doesn't help you. So you might take a lesser running back on, you know, like a James White is obviously way more valuable than an Adrian Peterson in a league like this and in a draft like this, because you could get three games out of a James White compared to one for Peterson. So there's a lot that goes into this draft. Like you said, we just wrapped it up. Very interesting. A lot of interesting strategies from the six of us that were in this draft. And we'll get into it.
Captain, of course, we play over at Scout Fantasy, playing with the best. Not only Chris, you in this draft, our guy, our buddy Tim Dano in this draft, also the reigning playoff draft champion, Mr. Odell, Jeff Odell in this draft, and of course, our buddy Chad Schroeder also in this draft right here. These drafts are live right now. Like I said, play scoutfantasy.com. You can draft all the way up until 3 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. That is an hour and a half before kickoff, so it's plenty of time to get involved. The league is filling fast. Six teams, $500 in the league. Six teams, 14-round draft. Draft takes about 35, 40 minutes, correct, Chris?
32 minutes exactly. So if anybody's saying, I don't want to do a draft, it's too long or whatever, these things go by so quick that before you blink, it's over, and that's why you got to think quick as the draft is going. You really don't have any time to sit there and, plan everything out, Corey. And, for the listeners, 1 minute between each picks. That's it.
1 minute between each pick does make it more intriguing, of course, as you're trying to put together these playoff rosters and get together with your strategy. Now, Chris, what I wanted to ask you is your strategy going into this draft, we want to get into handicaps of the games a little bit, the upcoming wild card weekend game. Your strategy going into this, were you looking at, okay, I want to get a mixture and a balance of NFC and AFC players, possibly some players going on Super Bowl Sunday? Were you looking to load up and stack up on one team, or were you trying to get a mixture of teams in there to more or less fill out your 14-man roster?
Right. Okay. Corey, my exact strategy was, all right, when you go into this, you got to try and you know, pick your Super Bowl, you know, from one team from the AFC, one team from the NFC. Try and get as many players on those teams. Now, in my instance, you know, a lot of people, let's just say this, a lot of people are going to say, oh, I want to take a team that's playing in week one and get four games out of them. You know, so that's why you see the, you know, a lot of Seahawks and a lot of Steelers. Those are the two most popular teams that are going to play in week one that people think can make a Super Bowl run. I don't, okay? If I thought that, that would be my strategy going in. I don't think the Steelers are for real, and I don't think the Seahawks can get past Carolina in week two. So I was trying to avoid Seahawks and Steelers while I knew other players in the draft were going to go after them. I think it's going to be an Arizona versus Patriots Super Bowl. I wanted to try and get as many players on both teams, you know, in this draft. But with that being said, you can't just load up on all Cardinals and Patriots early. Later on, you got to fill out, you know, your roster with enough guys that are going to give you points in this first weekend. And that's what I did in this draft.
Now, let me ask you this, going into it, you know what I'm saying, and I'm putting my strategy together also for this competition. I'm going to take a couple of these drafts off the board, hope to be in the league with you. Now, one of the things that I'm kind of thinking of, when you go about the team playing your wild card weekend, and I'm talking about teams that you think may be victorious, like Washington, for example, like the Kansas City, for example, do you want to – How are you handling players on those teams that you figure can get a win on Wild Card Weekend, but that might be the only game that they get? Because like you said, even if you don't like Pittsburgh to get past the second round, you got to like Antonio Brown to be able to score enough points for two games. Maybe a guy like Jordan Reed can give you two games with three games worth of stats. How are you handling those teams like a Washington, like a Houston, a Cincinnati?
Okay, well, that's a good question. See, now, I'm really not that concerned with those particular teams winning on the first weekend after I got my teams and my players, you know, that aren't playing in week one. Because it's going to kind of be like a handoff situation. Like, all right, so I took Carson Palmer as my quarterback because I think he's going to the Super Bowl. My backup quarterback, now obviously I got to take another quarterback or else I have no points out of the quarterback position. I'm getting Hoyer. I took Hoyer in one of the last couple rounds. Now, I don't expect – I actually think the Texans beat the Chiefs, personally. You know, that's why I took a couple of Texans because I'll get two games out of them, maybe. But even if I don't, Corey, you know, Hoyer plays week one, puts up some numbers, and then I don't expect him – to factor into my team at all because now Palmer takes over week two and then hopefully, you know, three and the Super Bowl. So it's kind of like a handoff situation when you're drafting the bench players. Yeah, I mean, you know, the crazy thing about this week is this first weekend is every game, either team can win other than the Vikings, in my opinion. That's why you really saw nobody go in and get Vikings players because – you know, we all expect Seattle to win. But other than that, each of these other games are toss-ups, in my opinion. And you asked earlier about the Cincinnati situation. I think Cincinnati's going to beat Pittsburgh. Everyone's just handing Pittsburgh this game on the road. I haven't liked what I've seen out of Pittsburgh these last couple weeks. And I think D'Angelo Williams not being there is going to be a major factor. So I like Cincinnati at home in this first week.
All right, well, let's get right into that one. That's what I kind of wanted to get into next before we got some of the results of the draft. Like I said, you just got out of the draft just now, just wrapping it up. It's a draft going on currently. Another draft coming up at 10 p.m. Eastern tonight. And, of course, drafts throughout the afternoon and evening up until kickoff Saturday. Scout Fantasy to get involved in the playoff draft world championship. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans. And I'm telling you, when I get into these drafts, I'm going to give you a little bit of my strategy. Probably, it looks not like it's going to be different from yours. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are a team that can make a run in the wide-open AFC. And I'm looking to stack a guy like a Charles Kendrick West and a Spencer Ware that I can get a little bit later on in these drafts. At least that's what I'm thinking on a contrarian play like that. But you think the Houston Texans are going to be able to pull this game out?
All right, well, I do, honestly. I think at home, I know Macklin's a little banged up. I'm sure he'll play, but I just this Texans defense right now is playing lights out. They're playing really well at home. You know, obviously this is the game that really nobody wants to watch out of the four of them this week. This is, you know, Kansas City's red hot without a doubt, 10-game winning streak. Just have a feeling that the Texans are going to bring something at home and spring the minor upset, because it's not a major upset. Kansas City's only a 3-point favorite in this game. But you know what? I look at it. Let me ask you this, Corey. You think Steelers or the Bengals win that game?
I'm going with the chalk. I'm going in the AFC. I'm going with the chalk. I'm going with Kansas City and Pittsburgh to start this thing
okay.
off. And then when you shake it down that way, then, of course, you send Pittsburgh into Denver for this is why Pittsburgh is such a popular play. So you send them to Denver, which is a team that people think can be had, and Kansas City goes to New England with a team that people think can be had, even though I know you feel differently about New England as we look forward to the second round.
That's the way I would look at it. I know, that's why I asked, because you said that you think Kansas City can make a run. Because if Kansas City wins this game and you think Pittsburgh is going to win, you know, I would much rather have Kansas City try and go out to Denver and spring an upset.
I agree.
Rather than come in, but, you know, that's not going to be the matchup as long as Pittsburgh wins. You know, if Cincinnati wins now, they'll go to New England and Kansas City will go to Denver. And I would like Kansas City's chances a little more, but I don't know, man. Kansas City, I'm just not a believer. I just think they got by on a soft schedule, you know, in November and December. And I'm not that impressed. I can't see it. I don't know what the status is right now of Justin Houston. I haven't looked, but if they, I just can't see them winning more than one game, Corey.
All right. Now, looking over to another team with a weaker schedule, the Washington mm-hmm. football team, they are home, 4:00 game on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. A lot of people are looking at the Green Bay Packers as one of the worst teams coming into the playoffs, Chris. They go into Washington to take on a team red hot and a quarterback red hot at home. Kirk Cousins, mm-hmm. of course, looks like a possible, if they get a W, a possible division round showdown. I don't want to call it a showdown. A division round matchup against the Arizona Cardinals, which you have going to the Super Bowl. Is that kind of why you faded Washington on your team? Or did you look at a situation where, you know, I'm going to leave Washington alone because – yeah, they may beat the doors off of Green Bay, but by the same token, I don't like them going into Arizona the next week. Let me hop on one of the AFC underdog. I mean, one of the AFC teams that I like playing in Week 1. Or do you think, obviously, that maybe Green Bay comes in there and gets a roll and beats Washington?
See, this is my real toss-up game this week, Corey. The Packers and Redskins. I really can't make up my mind. To be honest with you, I probably would give the slight lean to Washington. I really think the Packers
mm-hmm.
suck. I think Washington. If I could have in this particular draft, if I could have grabbed a couple of Redskin players instead of Packers players, I would have. But that's what we were talking about at the top of the show. The strategy changes so quick, and when you get to past this is a 14-round draft for those that are listening. You know, once you stack up on, you know, your good teams, the teams that you think can win the Super Bowl, obviously the Carolinas, Patriots, Arizona's like that, now you got to grab as many guys that are playing in Week 1. And then when certain players on teams that you like are gone, now you got to flip the script and try and make a mini stack of anybody and just hope that, you know, they win. So, and like I said, other than the Vikings, I think any of these games could win. That's why I grabbed an Eddie Lacy and, Davante Adams. I say, hey, you know what, who knows? Packers could win this game, you know, get out of there with a 27-24 win. And now I got a couple guys in that game going. And you have to avoid. You can't start mixing and matching everybody on one team in one game, I mean, because then it really defeats the purpose. You got to kind of just stack, a couple players on one team, hope they advance, and you get two games out of, you know, that team.
No doubt. Greg Emerson on that one. Seahawks and the Vikings wrap up the action for Wild Card Weekend. Of course, everybody is in on the Seattle Seahawks on this one right now, making Adrian mm-hmm. Peterson one of the last running backs to go off the board. People looking at getting one game for him. But when you look at the Minnesota Vikings scheme offensively, Adrian Peterson is going to – you're going with the theory that Adrian Peterson is getting one game, you possibly could get one 20-25 point game, though.
Yeah, you can, for sure. But, I mean, you know, when we're doing this draft, you know, that's kind of the way you got to think is, you know, oh, man, he's not advancing. So even though he could give me a 20-point game, you know, it's not like, oh, it's a guaranteed 20. I'll take the 20 and then be gone with it. You know, when these two teams played, you know, a month ago, he ran for 18 yards. It was his worst game of the year. And Seattle's just killing people on the ground, you know, defensively.
No,
I don't like the match with him either. And now, on top of it, you know, he left Sunday's game versus the Packers with a back injury. So he's got some issues going in. It's just a cluster, you know what. And that's what led everybody to, you know, kind of stay away from him. But were you surprised at how, you know, just to back it up a second, I forgot to ask you this while we were talking Redskins Packers. Were you surprised at how early Kirk Cousins went in this draft? He went third round.
One of the guys, Kirk Cousins in the third round. Wow, that is very interesting. Kirk Cousins in the third round. And that turn, that was a Jordan Reed-Kirk Cousins turn, as a matter of fact. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out right there.
Yeah, let's get into this draft.
And look at this draft and talk about some of the strategies that people might have went of. But in this draft, like we said, Play Scout Fantasy is where you get involved. Playoff Draft World Champion. $500 in league prizes, $20,000 for the overall champion in this contest. And I got Chance Slater, the Cocktail and Green, kicks it off with Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. Then you take Carson Palmer. Then goes Ben Roethlisberger. So, of course, we see the big quarterbacks go right off the board to start things with Wilson, Brady, Carson Palmer and Ben Roethlisberger. You know, everybody except Carson Palmer has played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know what, Corey, right off the bat, let's start with, you know, all big-time quarterbacks here, with no doubt about it. But you knew going in you had to grab a quarterback round one. At least I think that's the strategy. My brother-in-law actually did a draft last night, and same thing, you know. I think I've added four out of the top six picks were quarterbacks. The thing that shocked me the most right off the bat here was, you know, no Cam Newton out of the first four. I would have definitely went Cam Newton over Roethlisberger. You know, maybe Tim Dano thinks that Roethlisberger is going to make a run, and he wanted to get the first weekend of Roethlisberger in there, and then hope to ride him through the Super Bowl. That was obviously, I'm sure, his strategy with picking Roethlisberger over Newton. I would have took the safe
Tim
side
Dano,
of
a big-time New England Patriot fan, taking Ben Roethlisberger off the board right there. So maybe it is trouble in Patriot land.
Yeah, you know, and that's what's great about this playoffs this year, Corey, is you know, it's a real toss-up. There's question marks everywhere. 3 weeks ago, I was completely locked into Cardinals versus Patriots Super Bowl. Patriots were healthy. I knew Edelman and everybody would get healthy by week two. The Cardinals hadn't lost Tyrone Mathieu yet. I just thought they were the two best teams in each conference. And, you know, I thought they would, you know, go, you know, and meet up in the Super Bowl. But now you see with all the Patriots have problems. There's rumors about all what's wrong with Brady. I've heard even Adam Schefter said that it's possible broken ribs that he's got. So people are jumping off that Patriot bandwagon and trying to find an AFC team to ride with to the Super Bowl, whether it's the Broncos or the Steelers. I think everyone's just forgetting about Cincinnati, Corey. And, you know, I just have a sneaky suspicion. Cincinnati is a really good team, and I know everyone's panicking about A.J. McCarron. But if they could get by the Steelers in that crap defense this weekend, you'll get Andy Dalton back most likely for the second game, and then who knows? You know, I think they can make a run if they got Andy Dalton back. And who knows? Maybe he comes back this week.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. That's still up in the air, of course. Stay abreast of that situation. After the big four quarterbacks go, Antonio Brown and Doug Baldwin immediately go off the board in the first round of this 16 draft. So there you go. You see, you got the big four quarterbacks, of course, in the PPR. Antonio Brown still is the man, and, of course, Doug Baldwin, who pops and flashes at the end of the season, playing for that red-hot Seattle Seahawks team right now, goes off the board in the first round. Then we get to some of the guys that we look at, Chris, as first-round draft picks in these kind of drafts. These are some of the early picks. These are the top guys going off the board in these drafts right now. Rob Gronkowski goes to start the second round, followed by Cam Newton and David Johnson. So right now you got Gronk, Cam, and David Johnson, obviously. That wraps up kind of, I think those nine players right there are the big players.
Yes, and I was in the unfortunate position of drafting in the 10th spot because I wrote down, you know, I wrote down my rankings going into this draft, and these were my top nine. I said, oh, man, I really hope that one of these nine fall to me, and obviously it didn't, which led me to, you know, go what I did. We'll jump into that in a second, I'm sure. But, you know, when I look at this, Corey, and how you did this, after the top three picks, and we went, you know, Wilson, Brady, and Palmer, because we all wanted to get our quarterback that could take us to a Super Bowl out of the way, I see it differently. I would have had the picks 7, 8, and 9 in spots 4, 5, and 6. You know what I mean? I would have flipped it the other way. You know, I know everyone is loving the Antonio Brown and Doug Baldwin in this type of draft because you get them right off the bat in week 1. But like I said, I had to take a shot somewhere, and I'm kind of fading the two hot teams that everyone's on with the Seahawks and the Steelers. I could see them both not making it out of week 2. So that's why I faded those receivers. But obviously we all have different opinions, and that's why those guys went, you know, that way.
Let me ask you a question. Would you ever consider starting one of these drafts with your two quarterbacks? With your, if you had a chance, and how the draft falls, and you had a chance to start the draft, Carson Palmer and Tom Brady, would you have done that?
No, I wouldn't, but it's a great question because I put some thought into that, and I said, you know what? The only way I would do it, Corey, is if Russell Wilson was involved. Okay, because I could take Palmer in round 1 and not have him playing week 1, but then have a stud like Russell Wilson in a good matchup playing week 1. Take all of Russell Wilson's points, and then, you know, come back and they mix and match. But you really can't afford to take two quarterbacks, you know, in the first 2 rounds. You start missing out on, like, the skill players. There's about 15 to 20 really good, you know, receivers, running backs, tight ends. You want to try and build your team after you get one quarterback with at least two of these guys. So it's tough. I was going to honestly, my strategy was I wanted to get Palmer, obviously, first round, but I wanted to jump up a couple rounds and get Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins. I had a good quarterback and a good matchup that I could put up some points for week 1. And I know that either one of them won't go too far, but it doesn't matter because Palmer will take over and take me the rest of the way. That was kind of what I was hoping for in this draft.
Greg Olsen is your pick. Goes off the board. Carolina Panthers tight end, of course, the PPR monster. And if Carolina expects to make a run to the Super Bowl, going to see a lot of Greg Olsen. Then going off the board to end the second round of the draft is Marshawn Lynch and Demaryius Thomas. Marshawn Lynch looks like he's going to be back in action. Could possibly get 3, maybe even 4 games of Marshawn Lynch beast mode. And, of course, they are going to go to their workhorse running back as he gets back and he gets healthy for that playoff stretch run. How do you feel about Lynch going into the year?
I didn't like that pick at all, Corey. I'll tell you why. Right off the bat, we don't know how much of a workload he's going to get here in week 1 versus Minnesota. I doubt they give him the ball 25, 30 times. They're going to mix and match. Then if you play it out and Seattle wins, which obviously we're all expecting, you know, you go into Carolina in week 2 and Carolina doesn't let anybody run on them. So it's not a good matchup there. You know, I was thinking ahead the same way, obviously, with a Seattle-Carolina matchup. And what is Seattle not – the only thing Seattle can't do defensively is guard the tight end. So that's why I jumped on Greg Olsen planning that out. Because I expect, you know, Carolina and Arizona to move on and go to the NFC Championship games. So So I wanted to make sure I got two games and three games out of those guys. So I don't like the Lynch play, but, you know, Chad's turn here is unbelievable. You know, hate to say it, but he really put together a great strategy in this draft, broke perfectly for him, as, you know, you'll get into right now, I'm sure.
Yep, speaking of Chad's turn, round two going into round three, he takes Demaryius Thomas to start round three. He takes Emmanuel Sanders. He locks up the Denver Bronco wide receiving crew. They will be on the field in the second week. Now, the quarterback, more than likely, I would guess, would be Peyton Manning. He came back out there, obviously, this week and got it done. So now he has a Russell Wilson, Demaryius Thomas, Peyton Manning. He really has nothing. Well, he has the big – he'll get the big Russell Wilson points, obviously, early in week one. Then he'll come back week two. He hits you with that Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, not to mention he has C.J. Anderson on this team. Now, let's continue to move to the third round. Julian Edelman goes off the board, and you take Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald, Carson Palmer combination is working, Chris.
Yes. You know, that was my strategy going in. I wanted to get Fitzgerald. I honestly, Corey, I almost took Fitzgerald where I took Olsen second round because I wanted to try and stack the Cardinals. And I said, you know what, let me take Olsen. I saw a couple other drafts. Fitzgerald wasn't going in the second round. I said, let me sit and pray that I get Fitzgerald on the turn. That's exactly what happened. It worked out perfectly. Palmer, Fitzgerald, you know, and then obviously, you know, that's who I'm expecting to take me to the Super Bowl. My only regret, if I have any throughout my whole draft, Corey, like I told you before we started the show, was, you know, I was trying to put together the Arizona-New England combo Super Bowl. I kind of should have went Edelman maybe instead of Greg Olsen. But Edelman is scaring me right now. You know, not seeing him for a couple months, that was the only thing. You know, that was the only thing that held me back. And I went Olsen, the safe play, you know, over Edelman. I don't know if you agree with that. I still didn't even ask you. I still didn't even ask you what you thought of this Greg Olsen pick. Be honest with me. You know, what would you have done if you were me in that situation? Because I'm still contemplating. I'm still going, do I like it? Do I not? I'm a little in between on it.
I mean, I'm riding with the Carolina Panthers, so I can I can see I can see you taking the Greg Olsen pick right there. But see, I would have wanted. I think I like the dual quarterback strategy, and I understand it leaves you weak at the skill position. But and like I said, I'm gonna try a couple different ways as I go through the the next couple of weeks trying to bang out some drafts. But I do think Olsen was a good play right there. The Demaryius Thomas play. The Chad got on the turn was obviously a pretty good one right there, but yeah, the way that you want to build a team, I think Olsen was the guy right there with David Johnson going.
Right. Yeah, you know, and like I said earlier, you know, I was one pick away from David Johnson, and that would have been perfect because if I could have started off with Palmer, David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, that would have been my dream scenario, and I missed it by one pick. So you know, hey, that's what happens. You got to adjust on the fly.
You really
don't have much time for thinking. As soon as the picks are in, you got to go, all right, well, now I'm going to go this direction with this team and this team stack or, you know, try and get this skill player and this other guy in a couple rounds and put that together. There's a lot going on, and a little time to do it. But so what you're saying, Corey, is that if you were me, you were going to put another quarterback instead of Greg Olsen? You like the strategy of two quarterbacks in a row? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I want to – listen, it's going to be many different ways I do these. Over the course of the next couple of days when I do get a chance to do it, I got a very busy schedule this week, which sucks. But I'm going to try to put together my Super Bowl quarterbacks right off the top. I want to go with the dual quarterback. Because, see, I feel as if the quarterback is going, the quarterback is going to carry you, and he's going to make that run, those other players, I kind of can fill in and pop in the pieces. I may be able to get a game out of Mac Jones against the Green Bay run defense. I may be able to get a nice upside game out of a Tyler Lockett or a Marcus Wheaton. I want the two big quarterbacks, and, of course, I want to kind of put it together and stack it with the good targets on that team. But I think I can fill in moving along the way with – Stephon Diggs, but you don't want to trust the Stephon Diggs. Yeah, but you get what I'm saying. A Tyler Lockett type, a Jeremy Maxson, Travis Kelce, guys that are going to be slept on, maybe a Jonathan Stewart, maybe to fill out the roster for
the
first
week.
But I want to have a quarterback going every week.
But, Corey, I hear what you're saying, and, you know, it's interesting to get into the different strategies, but what I'm saying, how are you going to be able to pull that off with seeing that, you know, obviously everybody jumped on the quarterbacks right off the bat. The only way I see you pulling it off is if you're drafting in, like, the sixth hole and you got picked 6 and 7, but even then, you're not going to like a combination of Super Bowl quarterbacks, you know. You're going to have the Brady's, Palmers, and Cam Newton's probably off the board. Are you just
looking you have to be at the back end of it. And have to be, like you said, if I was in your spot today, you couldn't do it when you were sitting there today. You couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Now, but you got to think, I'm guessing that this draft right here, I'm guessing the majority of these drafts are going to start with Antonio Brown and David Johnson.
Okay.
And it's going to push the quarterback down. I think people are really on Antonio Brown because in 1 week, Antonio Brown can give you 2 weeks worth of production, and David Johnson obviously has a good chance of playing on Super Bowl Sunday. I think everybody agrees with that. So to see them go at the back end of this draft, to me, is kind of awkward because, you know, we just come out of the season with love for Antonio Brown and David Johnson. They just want people championships. To see them push to the back like this is kind of awkward for the quarterback. And like you say, Cam Newton falling to the second round. I mean,
yeah,
I was
shocked.
Carson Palmer, Cam, but wow.
Yeah, I mean, and that was my decision, Corey. I was on the clock, and I went in. I said I'll probably go Palmer over Newton. I want either Palmer or Newton is who I wanted. And I almost went Newton because, you know, FFWC is only 4 points for a passing touchdown, and the rushing yards will help. Obviously, that's a big factor. When I looked at the, you know, the schedule of how I expect everything to break down, you know, it's too juicy of a matchup knowing that I'm going to have either Washington or Green Bay, two terrible defenses, coming into Arizona for week two, where Palmer's going to probably go 300 plus and 3 touchdowns, shred them. And instead, Cam is going to have Seattle's defense playing them. So right off the bat, that was what made me lean towards Palmer. And I personally, like I said already, I think Palmer and Arizona beat Carolina in Carolina, if that even happens, if they even get to it.
And take that trip to Super Bowl 50. Moving along, after you take a laugh, Fitzgerald, see a little run on wide receivers, a two-team run on wide receivers with Martavis Bryant and AJ Green. Then, of course, Kirk Cousins goes to end out the third round of the draft. Ends with Kirk Cousins on the Raptors, Jordan Reed. This team right here that drafted in the sixth hole tonight, Doug Baldwin, Rob Gronkowski, Kirk Cousins, and Jordan Reed.
It's an interesting one. I'll tell you that much. It's interesting. You know, the way I look at this, Corey, I don't think you want to be the team that gets the sixth quarterback in this draft. You know what I mean? There's the five big ones. You want to get one of the five. And if you don't get one of the five, now you really got to go double quarterback. And even if you do that, you're really looking at, you might not have a quarterback come the second or third week, and never mind the Super Bowl, you know? Like, who do you really trust? If I'm him, I take Kirk Cousins that early, I mean, I got to go a couple rounds earlier and get Peyton Manning, believe it or not, because at least Peyton Manning can win a couple games and be on the field come the second and third weeks, and maybe they get to the Super Bowl and I get 4 weeks worth of quarterback play. That's the way you got to look at it, you know? At least that's the way I look at it. You need as many people playing for as long as possible, and I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to make it. I know Kirk Cousins is going to make it past week two, so, and he might not even make it past week one. So, you know, you're in trouble. Yeah, you can't not play without a quarterback for 3 weeks and expect to win.
Can't. So look, that's one of the ground rules right there. You cannot. You have to. This is a quarterback. This is a quarterback heavy competition, and like you said, it's really about handicap in these playoffs, Chris. Got about 10 minutes left to go. We want to rock and roll, of course. We're talking about the playoff draft, world championship, playscoutfantasy.com. Get involved, $500 in league prizes, $20,000 grand prize, 16, 14-round draft. Chris said the draft took 32 minutes, so definitely get involved. Give yourself a little last taste of fantasy football. Maybe you can recoup like me and Chris need to do. Danny Amendola is the next wide, the next player to go off the board for you. Your pair, so now your wide receivers on this team are Larry Fitzgerald, Danny Amendola, and John Brown. Of course, very heavy Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, and, you know, I jumped on the Danny Amendola. I wanted, you know, as many shares as, you know, of the Patriots, like I said. So, you know, if even if Edelman is banged up a little bit, I expect Amendola to have a nice role throughout the playoffs. He came back versus Miami week 17. He said he felt 100%. So he's good to go. Got another receiver there. And then, you know, the John Brown. Obviously, when I take Amendola there, I do like the pick, and I want, you know, I could get three games out of him, at least I expect to. But, you know, I expected to get a couple more Patriots down the line. I was hoping to get James White on the come around, but or in a round or two. Didn't work out, so I went right back to another Cardinal. And to be honest with you, I'm shocked I got John Brown as late as I did, because yesterday – John Brown went in the middle of the third round, and I got him in the middle of the fifth round in the draft. But that's why it's interesting all these drafts, because there's nothing set. It's not like, you know, our drafts in September.
It's no ADPs for these drafts.
No ADP. It's all over the place, man. And that's what's so interesting about these drafts and cool. You know, I'm sure you've seen a couple. Players are all over the place. It's just a matter of your preference.
Now, the Danny Amendola pick, Michael Floyd went the pick before. Would you would have took Floyd and tried to get Amendola on the turn?
Yes. I wanted Michael Floyd there. Yes, I wanted Michael Floyd there. And he went again, you know, so I said, all right. I honestly considered John Brown right after that, knowing that John Brown went, you know, in the third round earlier. I said, I got to try and go over to the AFC side, Corey. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's where the
you need action in both conferences. Yeah. And that's one of the things about these. You need to have players from both conferences in order to make a successful run at the Big Ten.
Exactly. So as bad as I wanted to go John Brown there, and I got really lucky still getting him all the way on the come around. But I said, all right, I got to jump over and go to my AFC team that I'm targeting and pick some players off of that team. You know, so I have a good balance, or else it's useless just stacking one team up. It doesn't really help you. So,
you see
a lot of these teams, I think, you know, most of these teams in this draft did a great job of stacking and getting at least three or four players from two teams in, you know, in each conference. So everybody did a really good job. And, you know, Chad did a great job with all Broncos, and a handful of Seahawks and a bunch of Packers too. So he's got three teams covered really, and you know, two that are playing in the first week, and then you know, whoever loses, he's got the Broncos to pick up the slack. So he, you know, he did do a really good job of what you're supposed to do in a draft like this.
Your running back you took in round number six was Eddie Lacy from the Green Bay Packers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And Lacy going this way. People are fading the Green Bay Packers. Like I said, right now they're playing like the worst team in the playoffs. Then you get into the AFC dog horse with the dual back-to-back picks in round seven and round eight of Giovanni Bernard and Tyler Eifert. Chris going after some of those Bengals, huh? What do you see? What is the upside of the Bengals? What do you see for the Bengals in wild card weekend? What do you see for the Bengals in the division round?
All right, well, I'll be honest. Like I said earlier, I really think that the Bengals could beat the Steelers. The Steelers' defense, I'm not impressed with at all. I didn't think, you know, this is a good Jeremy Hill game versus the Steelers' good run defense. I think Gio is going to have to be on the field a lot in this particular game, getting passes out of the backfield. I was desperate for running backs. You know, everybody was laying off the running backs. Everybody was trying to, you know, once you got your quarterbacks, you went to the receivers and a couple tight ends. Everybody was waiting on the running back position because really there's not a lot of good ones, and the big-name running backs are in bad positions. So you're in a really tough spot. The guy I really wanted was C.J. Anderson. That was the running back I wanted, or James White, and I didn't get either one because I missed them both on a turn. So, you know, unfortunately, I'm not in love with these running backs. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that I do love them. I do like Gio and Eifert. I said, let me go get a couple Bengals because I think they could take advantage of the Steelers' defense, maybe win a game, then go and play New England. And if Dalton's back, now it's a different offense. Now we have Andy Dalton at the helm, and I have Gio, Eifert, Marvin Jones, who I got later. That could be a really high-scoring game, so I could at least get two games out of the Bengals. And it wouldn't be crazy, like I said, if the Bengals were the team that I went in on, to spring, an upset and wind up in the Super Bowl.
No doubt. Like you said, you got to have – it's going to take a strategy like that to knock down the big check in this one. I mean, I'm not playing $500 trying to bring the whole thing home, Chris.
No, you got to take a chance Devontae Adams, Corey – that was a strictly, I need a couple receivers. Obviously, as you see, I started off Fitzgerald, Amendola, Brown. None of them are playing week one. So I knew coming rounds, 8 through 14, I got to get a couple receivers that are playing in week one. At that time, Devontae Adams was one of the two or three top receivers, that were on the board. And I said, all right, Rodgers versus that Redskin secondary, let me just put him out there for one game. If they win, I got him going to Arizona in a shootout. Maybe he could catch a couple balls there, but how much we hate Devontae Adams. So what are you going to do?
You wrap up the draft with Steven Gostkowski as your kicker. And then I like your commitment to Houston, knocking off Kansas City, possibly getting Alfred Blue for a second game, and then, of course, you won't have to play Brian Hoyer, considering, after the first week you expect him to win, then you have Carson Palmer take over as your quarterback. So, interesting strategy right there. Coming out of it, anything that you would, obviously people that's listening to us will probably be competing with us over the course of the next couple of days, but from what you can tell me, anything that you would really do different?
Just like I said, the only thing is maybe I would have went to Demaryius Thomas or Edelman instead of Greg Olsen, just because, if you're going to ride a certain team to the Super Bowl, like I think the Cardinals are going, well, then I shouldn't have made the Olsen pick probably because I expect them to lose to the Cardinals, and I should have went to the opposite conference and started getting some players either on the Broncos or Patriots, just say that I think can go to the Super Bowl. So other than that, but I kind of like what I did, later on in the rounds. I like that I got Gostkowski and the Patriots defense. So I got both special teams, defense and kicker, from the team that I think is going to go to the Super Bowl. And the Hoyer and Alfred Blue, I got the quarterback and running back at a team playing in week one. So, I like it. I like it. I probably should have gotten one more wide receiver if I could have. But I'm treating Tyler Eifert, my second tight end, to Olsen, as my extra receiver for week one.
All right, Black Monday just passed in the NFL. Anything stick out that can affect fantasy in 2016? Obviously, of course, the whereabouts of Sean Payton come to mind immediately.
Yeah, and, I doubt he winds up in New York as the Giants head coach. We spoke about it on the podcast all year long, at least the second half of the season, Corey, that Coughlin was a dead duck. And he wasn't going to be back, and, that's what you saw happen. I'm shocked that Pagano came back as the Colts head coach. That was, a shock to me. But it'll be interesting to see who becomes the Giants head coach. We'll see there. And I know Chip Kelly is trying to get his hands on in San Francisco to try and, work with Kaepernick, I guess. So that might be interesting, but that also might be a bomb waiting to explode with Kaepernick and Chip Kelly.
I definitely think that is a situation where that may be a bomb waiting to explode with Colin Kaepernick and Chip Kelly. So two CKs, look at that. Colin Kaepernick and Chip Kelly. How about that? This is on the same. That means the chemistry would be good when you start to hear some of the stories that are coming out. Of course, Senior Bowl coming up, be on top of that, free agency in the NFL. Has, you know,
I'll tell you
talk
what,
about.
You know who I'm interested
What's
in
up?
Seeing real quick? I'm sorry. I want to see Adam Gase, who I love as an offensive coordinator and an offensive mind. I want to see if he takes a head coaching job. I have a feeling that maybe he gets the Eagles job, and that would be interesting to me.
Now, if he gets the Eagles job, Adam Gase, of course, I think is a player that is a head coach that's brought in to work with quarterbacks. We've seen most recently with Jay Cutler and with Peyton Manning. So I'm looking at Gase as a guy that's going to be that wants to go to a place with a solid quarterback situation in place, or with a young quarterback that he can go in there and develop and work with. And I don't know who that guy is in Philadelphia. You know? Do you think that Adam is his record? This is the reclamation product of Sam Bradford.
You know what? I'm not a big Bradford guy. After this year, I don't even think Adam Gase could really do wonders for him. But
he Jesus has, Christ! He's like, yeah. I'm sorry, I can't do nothing with him.
Like you said, he's probably better off going somewhere else where there's a real good quarterback. But I can't really think of any places right off the top of my head of teams that are with really good quarterbacks that are going to be needing a head coach.
What about Marcus Mariota's situation in Tennessee?
You know, I'm shocked that Chip Kelly isn't dying to go there. I mean, that would make all the sense in the world to me if he fired him. But, you know, I don't know.
To see how that situation plays out. Exactly. 100% on that. Jerry Jones today, in so many words, did say that, you know, that the roster was incapable of handling an injury to the quarterback, which we see that now. Without tampering, he said that it is a player with some risk out that they'd be able to take a look at. And that, of course, means Robert Griffin III and Johnny Manziel. No part of Johnny Manziel.
No, but I thought it was funny that today it was reported that RG3 would love to wind up in Dallas, and then it said Johnny Manziel would love to wind up in Dallas. So everyone just dying to go back and back up Romo, I guess, because
yeah,
Romo's
so
not going.
Why is everybody so ready to go be a backup quarterback, but of course you're being a backup quarterback for 36-year-old quarterback that doesn't seem like he can take too much of the heavy pounding of the NFL no more. But he
they
is still a quarterback, and he's still under contract for a few more years.
Romo's not going anywhere, and these guys are just looking to go back home. They're both Texas boys, and they're just going back home to party it up and, you know, be celebrities, which they want to be. Well, at least Johnny Football does. But, Yeah, you know, he just wants to be a celebrity back in Texas and go hang out on Texas A&M's campus during the week, you know, while he's backing up Romo.
Like, you better Johnny Football sitting on the sideline like, I hope that collarbone is okay because I didn't come here to play.
I do think
Robert Griffin ends up as a backup quarterback this upcoming a backup quarterback with Dallas Cowboys this upcoming season, and I do think they draft one. Interesting to see if they go running back or quarterback with number 4 overall pick. But the story going into the offseason, what we're going to be talking about a lot, Chris, as we move forward into 2016, the one that sticks out like a sore thumb right now is, here we go again, the return of Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon is going to be back on the football field. We see, we know the type of talent that Josh Gordon is. How are we going to handle the Josh Gordon talk that's going to start somewhere in July and take us right into Fantasy Football 2016?
Corey, all I have to say about that is it's January now. It's 6 months until football season comes along. This guy has – Manziel has a better chance of staying out of trouble in the next 6 months than Josh Gordon does. Unless Josh Gordon is on house arrest and he's locked in his house until September, I don't even think we'll have that issue to discuss because he'll probably screw up again. But if he is there, there's no way that I draft a Josh Gordon anywhere in any round early that can affect my team. You know what I mean? Anything 10 rounds and plus, if he's on the board, I have no clue right now where he is going to be planted as an ATP for the upcoming season. So we'll see. But we don't even know the coaches in Cleveland. I assume McCown will be back as the quarterback. Who knows about that, though? So there's a lot of question marks in Cleveland. And you're right, that'll be a question to answer in the summertime. But right now it's just too early. But my money's on him, failing another drug test.
All right, here we go. Thank you for listening to the Takeover through 2015 fantasy football season. We will keep you up to date, of course. Thank you for listening to us tonight as we broke down and analyzed the playoff draft, world championship, playscoutfantasy.com. Right now, head over there, get involved. 20K grand prize, $500 in league prizes. Get into action all the way up to kickoff for Wild Card Weekend. Thank you very much for the 2015 season. For my man Chris Vaccaro, I am Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive. We are out.
Peace.